Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. So we come back, dear listeners, and this is primarily Thursday edition here on your number one talk radio station. Yes, time does fly a little bit too quickly. Obviously, I would have loved it to still be at least a day more longer, not just the Friday tomorrow, but just a little bit longer. You know, there's a lot of talking points popping up, and there's a lot of things happening, and there's a lot of developments, you know, sort of like sidelining the whole, you know, sort of like planned course of discussions, topics, engagements, on and on and on and on, that you can primarily, you know, think about. And this is all within a quick span of how things are happening. If it's not, you know, Donald Trump flying to one part of the world and deciding to, you know, threaten Greenland on the one side and threaten Iran on the other side of the world, you know, it's tumultuous. On one side, if you didn't care about economic developments and how these actions actually influence, you know, broader economic machinations and maneuvers and methods of planning and procedure, yeah, sure, you would think about it as a complete comedy show. And obviously, if we looked at the discussion we had here yesterday between myself and Hende from the Eagle Sports Zone that takes place every Sunday here on your number one talk radio station, you probably would have also gone like, yeah, you know what? I could understand certain things besides the details that we shared with you. And these particular details, all of them pointed towards that there are certain anomalies happening. But then there is always, as always, a little bit of a shining light, a ray of sunshine on the horizon. And in many scenarios, said ray or said stream or said particular illustration of the pastures might be green on the other side of that little hill that you see approaching or that you're approaching, is that, you know, that there is some sort of a good, you know, coming about from the current American administration that the world has to engage and deal with. Now, as a little bit of a precursor, and for those of us, or those of you, because I've obviously seen and I obviously planned the particular session for today, and I actually want your buy-in, you know, as an Eagle FM listener on this particular conversation of the day, primarily about how Africa always brings up this particular conversation around the AGOA agreement. Now, if you don't know what AGOA stands for, it's the Africa Growth and Opportunities Act agreement. It's a specific act that exists that provides preferential access to African countries who are recognized under the AGOA agreement. Namibia is one such particular beneficiary country under this agreement. And I'll share in a little while as to why Namibia has this particular, sort of like positive position. But there's also a key talking point that emanates from what we've been seeing happening in the past 2-3 weeks, couple of months, you name it, around the world, and the threats and the tariffs and the other conversation elements that have been cited, that have been voiced, that have been brought up, that have been positioned. And then you ask yourself the question of, okay, so then what makes this agreement so special? Now, I cannot give you a definitive answer. Why? Because just with the last statistics or trade statistics that Namibia has, Namibia actually trades a lot more with Europe, the EU, a lot more with China. Yes, there is some trade component that we ship off to or have with or linkages that we have with the United States. And then there's obviously our big brother to the south, which is South Africa, and then the immediate vicinity of our neighbors around us in the SADC or SACU cluster. So as you can see, Namibia does have direct lines of stronger trade relations and even aid. And when I say aid, I'm talking about it in a developmental sense, because once again, we have in the same order, just to cite to you, there is the EU, there's South Africa, there's the EU. Actually, if we look at the biggest development partners, let me use that term, development partner, which also includes trade and economic activities. It's South Africa, it's China, it's the EU. Oh no, there's a fourth one. It's South Africa, it's China, it's the EU, it's Germany. Because Germany is the largest development partner of Namibia. So in the phrase of development partner versus the phrase of preferential treatment in a trade scenario, you obviously see that there is a clear distinction on in terms of what can be highlighted and what should not be highlighted in the conversation. So the AGOA treatment is based upon preferential trade parameters that are afforded to countries on the African continent. Not all 54 African nations, no, because there's also a clear distinction of the kinds of African nations that are highlighted in the agreement. And Namibia is one of said particular one said particular African country that enjoys said particular preferential treatment. Now, also lined out in our discussion, there is a biennial report that was submitted to Congress, the U.S. Congress, back in 2020. It actually helps to also sort of like explain the particular status and the particular impact and effect of the AGOA agreement. Because remember, AGOA has been extended twice before. So just to share with you what is the latest currently happening right now is that AGOA seems like it will be extended once again. Just bringing up that back in this week, on the 13th, which was technically on Tuesday, back on the 13th of this week, the 13th of January, a bill was put forward by the, I think this is the House of Representatives. Yeah, by the House of Representatives. The bill's name is H.R. 6500, known as the AGOA Extension Act amended. And it was first added, of this particular discussion was obviously first explored on the 1st of January, or the 6th of January, as the year began. So what does it actually look at? So, oh yes, this is Congress, not the Senate. So this particular bill, and I remember a bill, it's not yet an act, is to extend the AGOA agreement between Africa and the United States. So the latest is that back in this week, this particular bill was brought forward to the, was brought before the Congress of the United States. And its aim is to extend the duty-free treatment provided with respect to imports from certain countries in Africa under the African Growth and Opportunity Act, to extend customs user fees and for other purposes. Now, if you guys remember, there have also been the particular review of like our southern neighbor, South Africa's particular antics. And I say antics, I include South Africa's behavior, as well as also the language and the rhetoric that South Africa has been using in terms of lobbying at the United Nations and at various United Nations stations and agencies with regards to the Gaza conflict. Now, this is obviously based upon the actions of the state of Israel with regards to the treatment of defenseless civilians, and also the conduct of Israeli soldiers in that aspect, and what's currently happening and still happening, supposedly, in Gaza. I say supposedly because Donald Trump went and stated back in last week, not this week, last week, that the conflict had subsided from Gaza. But, you know, you can only say so far the conflict has subsided. Has subsided. Apologies for that, guys. Just dropped my mobile phone right now. But the obvious, you know, after effects of a conflict still remains, and it obviously still has negative impacts on many people, many civilians, which includes women and children, elderly, sick, I almost said disadvantaged, but disabled, and the like, that obviously have had to endure the past 2 years, primarily of these harrowing experiences. But according to Donald Trump, the conflict stopped, according to him. Now, I don't know Donald Trump personally, so I cannot sit here talking about his character. But what I can highlight to you has been the recorded events, where he has spoken, where he has engaged, and the reasoning that he has supplied. That's all I can speak to. And all of that being in black and white, and obviously I don't live in the United States, so I cannot speak to the man's character and thinking and all those particular things, and not even use the particular sort of like analyses that people have highlighted, you know, the well-documented analyses about that. But there was obviously a clear threat to the African economy regarding the tariff, the exercise of tariff and the threat of tariffs towards, you know, imported African products from Africa to North America, specifically United States, being a big concern to many African politicians. Now, in many particular cases and in many particular scenarios, this is always where quotes by historic figures always come into effect. One of the most famous quotes was that from Napoleon Bonaparte. And I know Napoleon was a general and a dictator, because we can debate upon the semantics of how he became a dictator, but I'll just let you know that the French still would not tell you that Napoleon actually enacted a coup, and he completed the coup, where thus transitioned into a coup d'etat, because he usurped power from the French Republic and then called it the French Empire. So obviously, as you can see, the two differences that existed. He was of no nobility, but once again, we leave those semantics out. Now, Napoleon made a very famous statement. It's one of his more famous quotes that he is known for. He said, "If you see your enemy making a mistake," and I'm not saying that United States is an enemy of Namibia, because obviously I'm a Namibian. We believe in the particular policy that still exists in international relations. But if you see someone that has wronged you make a mistake, do not interrupt them. Let them complete the mistake. So far, global economic academics have all been shouting and trying to intervene and trying to influence the course that Donald Trump's administration has been trying to take by firstly trying to threaten the whole global economy with tariffs. All business owners and all economists who were thinking sanely and logically were citing that, but he's only going to hurt his own citizens. He's not going to hurt the rest of the world's citizens. Sure, we just might not trade as much with the United States under the threat of these tariffs. We just would be selling a lot less to the United States, and thus the United States would lose out on critical resources from the rest of the world that it had not grown, made, created, manufactured, produced, or even added further value onto to sell on further for the past, 10 years or so. For AGOA, AGOA was one of the contracts, one of the agreements that were dangled on the table, with many particular, for example, like in South Africa, the economic analysis was that this is disastrous, the position that South Africa is taking is disastrous. It is, what do they call it, self-harming. The political stance that the nation of South Africa is taking versus the economic ambitions that the country has. But out of all the particular scenarios, and I'm not blowing the horns of South Africa here, even though I do admire our southern neighbor a lot, has been a question of, if you look at the rate of replacement, because I always read articles that come from South Africa regarding economic news, and there's one particular platform that likes stating so many international companies left. And one of the interesting things of such particular labels and such particular headlines is obviously that they are clickbait. In many scenarios, they are clickbaiting. And yes, I always also analyze media reporting and how media stories and articles are positioned or try to capture the eyes and the interests of us, a reader, whether you read on a digital platform or on a physical print platform. Now, articles like the one that I mentioned just now about so many foreign companies leave or big companies leave the South African shores never to return again, which was, comes from one of the leading online platforms in South Africa. I think it's Business Review or Business Direct or something like that for that name. The downside is when you look into the article to see the size and the, and you know, the prominence of these companies and organizations, yes, it's bad for a company to close down its doors and move out of the country. But in many scenarios, you could see that these companies were organizations that were not in critical industries. So they were not in steel making. There was probably one in some sort of a retail aspect. And then the other one was a consulting company that was identified literally for playing a part in the negative image and reputation management of the image of South Africa. And it was the same public relations and consulting company specifically that also consulted the now, I'll call him tainted, head of state, Jacob Zuma, around his affiliations with the Gupta brothers or the Gupta business empire that was very closely affiliated to him. Now you ask yourself, should you cry tears over entities, businesses that many people can debate probably that did not have a bona fide approach to the reputation of, you know, a said African country, whichever African country that would be? Should you feel sorry? It's a yes and a no. It's up in the air. Obviously, the employees of those companies would say, no, we don't like it. Obviously, you know, if they move to another country, let's say they move to Namibia, sure, it would be Namibia's gain, South Africa's loss. But in what scenario does Namibia gain? And in what context did South Africa lose this particular benefit of a new international business coming to your shores? With AGOA's potential extension, I say potential extension because it still has to proceed from the Congress, I think, to the Senate, is that there were a whole bunch of House representatives in the Congress who agreed on some parts or at most about the bill itself. And the bill was actually first put together on 23 December of 2025, just before Christmas. Now, the bill, as mentioned, obviously aims to extend, states also that it be enacted by the extension be enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America Congress, and ultimately that this act should be cited as the AGOA Extension Act, the extension of preferential treatment of certain countries in Africa under African Growth and Opportunity Act, the retroactive extension. So obviously, they highlight a very various clauses in this particular bill itself, citing that specifically the Trade Act of 1974, which is an American act, Section 506B of the Trade Act of 1974, which is to be amended by striking 30 September 2025 as the ending date of last year and inserting 31 December 2028, meaning that will be the new date of extension. So we're talking from 15 January to 31 December 2028. Further on, the bill also helps to expand and explain that the African Growth and Opportunity Act, specifically in general, under Section 112G of the AGOA Act, is to be amended by striking off 30 September also once again and inserting 31 December 2028. Now, if you look at things as they currently are, you'll be asking, Dwight, it's 2026 as we're sitting here. Donald Trump was inaugurated in 2025. 20 January 2026, that's 1 year. 2026 to 2027, that's year two. 27 to 28, that's year three. Do you guys get me? It's not to say that Donald Trump from 1 January of 2025 should be counted from there. No. It's literally you follow since the day of inauguration into the similar calendar date in the next year. So in 2028, Donald Trump still would have the opportunity, he and his administration, which would include his cabinet, his ministers, or his secretaries as they would be known, would still have the opportunity of reviewing said act, because the Republican Party in the United States apparently has a slim majority. But yes, a majority is still a majority. It's not an outright majority, but it's still a slim majority, supposedly by political commentators in the U.S., but it at least would still set the scene for some format of review or control that Donald Trump's administration would have with regards to the relationship between the trade and economic and development, the relationship between Africa and the United States. Now, it does bring up a pivotal question once again. When we've always looked at a singular country engaging with a whole continent. Now, this is where things get comical, guys. And it's where literally we as Africans literally have to look ourselves in the mirror. For those of us that own mirrors. Okay. We go stand in front of something that has a reflective surface so you at least can see your own face. And we ask ourselves as a continent, why is it that Spain can have a plan for Namibia? Brazil can have a, no, not Namibia. Spain can have a plan for Africa. Brazil can have a plan for Africa. The United States can have a plan for Africa. Canada can have a plan for Africa. Germany can have a plan for Africa. Because literally Germany is involved across the continent on Africa. Even helping us with Interpol missions. Can you believe that? China definitely has a plan for Africa. Japan has a plan for Africa. Now, I get to ask you this question. Even Russia has a plan for Africa. I get to ask you this question, guys. Why is it that we are dealt that all, that when countries, major powers in the world, who are also economic powers, literally approach us 54 nations, and then they say in their policy document, X country and Africa. But before we continue, we take an ad break.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 college feint and margin exercise book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 sheets Typek A4 photostat paper for only $54.99, and 2x40g Stadler glue stick value pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
Now, the indication regarding the rest of the world having a plan for Africa has been an alarm bell that I've been ringing for the better part of 2 years. Ever since a very interesting development was mentioned to me back in 2022 after the Ukraine conflict kicked off, and this was from someone else, and another particular sort of like economist, who cited, I think it was Jeffrey Sachs, or I think it was Yanis Varoufakis, but I suspect it's Sachs, that it was the first time in the history of Japan that they actually made a special provision in the international relations policy document. Now, it's usually known as the blue document or something like that, in the Japanese government's policy, international relations policy. And they had a specific mention towards or of Africa. So too Spain popped up with one. So too did Belgium. So too did, the European Union. And so it seemed that we started seeing potentially a pivot that Africa starts to literally lead on a global stage. That we literally can stand up under the auspices or with the auspices or with the leadership even of the African Union, and we now start speaking as to this collective voice that represents a diverse continent, but with a collective approach and understanding as to what this continent wants, from the rest of the world. And historically, you can talk about the history, you can cite the history, you can even cite that the theme of 2025 that the African Union had actually is to be extended, I think to a whole, is it a whole 7 years or is it a 10-year period? Yeah, it's a 10-year period that they extended the reparations and justice theme that we extensively covered back in last year here on the Home Run. That had been extended by the AU for past a single year because the proposed theme for 2026 would have literally diverted completely away from the message of 2025. So thus, you would have sat with, oh, we are doing that, you know, have a theme for the fun of it for every year, but we don't really see any action or any particular benefit being accrued or emanating from said theme associated to said acts and actions and goals. And where do we find ourselves? There was a wonderful collage. Now, I know this collage was just about political leaders. It was Nelson Mandela. It was Muammar Gaddafi. It was Saddam Hussein. The last two guys, is not, they're not everyone's cup of tea with regards to, you know, this collage specifically. But and I'm not here to try and incite anything of any nature regarding how you need to view the United States. Because in essence, Africa has benefited and Africa has had a very touchy relationship with the United States. So this collage that just happened to scroll past me on my YouTube, I say scroll past me because it's not something I was looking for, but it popped up in there and I watched it. It was a good 2 minutes. It was primarily right after 3 January's events of this year, and someone quickly stitched this collage together, was something that, Saddam Hussein said regarding the actual aim of what happened in Venezuela, which I have been correct so far. I have been correct. It was about the oil. It was about nothing else. It was about the oil. And primarily the strength of controlling said resource, the oil, and what that specifically does to the country if that country is at odds with a nation like the United States. Saddam, you know, it was a lovely, like, half a minute, you know, 15 second here, 15 second there, excerpt of him explaining that it's always about the oil, because at one stage, Iraq was supported by the Americans against Iran in the Iran war, the Iraq-Iran war of the 1980s. And then literally it flipped around against Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and Saddam now became this bad guy. Obviously, Muammar Gaddafi was a thorn for NATO, Europe, and the Americans. And obviously, we know what happened to Muammar. And he also highlighted this. Oh, the other fourth guy's name was Fidel Castro, which is obviously sort of like the arch nemesis for any American president that steps into the White House. So yeah, there you've got it. All of them had a small excerpt to say in that collage. Two of the guys I don't actually, you know, can put in any good indication or sort of like put them on a lofty pedestal to say that this was a proper political role model, because there was so much death and so much particular negative news and developments around them. Even though, you know, there might have been mis- and disinformation associated to that and, or, you know, all that kind of stuff, still, there was just too much negativity around those two guys. That's now Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein. However, when the excerpt of Nelson Mandela popped up, that there's, and I am verbatim quoting him, that there's only been one country in the history of humanity that does not care how much damage they cause you, it has always been the United States. Now, I'm a Southern African. You're a Southern African. We know. You can even go as far back as the Vietnam War to see the extent of that war. You can even go as far back as between the correspondence and the thinking that American generals like Douglas MacArthur who wanted to literally drop a third nuclear bomb, specifically on the Chinese, during the Korean War, without any regard for human life, without any regard for civilian life, not caring about the fallout, wishing to teach another country a lesson, which is the same things that we saw with Iran, which has been the same threats that we've seen the whole of 2025 leading into 2026. The whole position, the posturing, the language, the reasoning, the logic being applied to the explanations when their media are broadcasting to us, you know, around the world, and we're trying to make sense of, now why, what did we do to you? Mandela put it in such a poetic scenario that if there's ever been a country that does not care how they hurt you, they exist, the United States. So I'm not asking, nor am I stating that particular fact, because it is recorded in history that Mandela made that statement. And you can go and view it in your own terms and under the context and under which Mandela made that statement. But you can clearly see in his face when Mandela made that statement that he was very close to being highly emotional, meaning he was very close to having an outburst, and he was trying to contain himself. And there was a lot of fact in what he said, but he had to condense, obviously, you know, and put it in a very friendly sentence. So it was obviously also not to expand into any format of Xhosa, and thus, you know, just losing the entire audience in just one go. But there was a lot of fact there. And history is literally filled with the facts. Filled with facts. Not truth, facts, events, people, and what transpired. Now you get to ask yourself, okay, if you look back at 2025, and you look forward, and you look at this current development of the AGOA Act, it is a positive. Yes, we have to be diplomatic. We have to understand that we are in a lesser position. I'm not saying that my food is not better than the average American's food that they eat in the United States. In actual fact, I know that I eat better than them. I know that you eat better than them. The only concern we have is the only thing that I've always been highlighting here is that we have too few access to money and too few access to opportunities. Those are the only two stumbling blocks we've got to deal with. Access to money, access to opportunities. The equal part is, you can view that as an adjective, meaning as an add on to the statement that I just highlighted. But in actual fact, we need more access to opportunities and we need more access to money. The more money is made available through projects, initiatives, events, coordinated, endeavors, the more there will be actually further investment in the local communities that we see across Namibia, thus being able to make that one Namibian dollar travel very far and as extensively as possible. You know, you can go and read NDP6, and it can sound good as you're reading it, because it does sound good. It does look good. But you always see one issue. How do we make money move? And how do we create opportunities for Namibians who don't have opportunities? Now you're going to ask yourself, okay, AGOA sounds good. There might be an extension. Or there is an extension on the table there in the United States Congress. But I will still ask you, what does that do for you here? What does it do versus what is already done by the South Africans under SACU? The South African private sector is the largest investor in Namibia. Why are we shouting and having fanfare about America, about an American economy that is too far? There's probably only one American business in Namibia, and that is the business that is game, Because Game was bought out by Walmart. And the Competition Commission had a say in terms of the Walmart expansion into Namibia. Would Game change from Game as we knew it to Walmart United States or whatever it would be? But it didn't. Because the actual decision was based upon what the South African Competition Commission had to say and ruled with regards to the acquisition and the expansion of Walmart USA into Southern Africa. You don't hear Walmart USA expanding into Egypt, into Nigeria, into Kenya, into DRC even, and I'm talking about densely populated people, nations that have at least 100 million people in them, or at least 80 or close to 100 million people, at least 80 to 100 million people in their borders. No, you don't hear that. They came to Southern Africa. Why? Why would you come to Southern Africa? Do you know why? It's the most stable part of this continent. Politically stable, most politically stable part of this continent. It's the part of the continent that has the best infrastructure. In many cases, our infrastructure probably beats some parts of America. And yes, I'm saying that with a bold statement because I sit with an understanding that there are some parts of Namibia where you can get internet access, where you can make a phone call. And then some parts in the US where you don't have internet. Let me say that again. You don't have internet in some parts of the United States. Let me get the next caller or the first caller coming through for today. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dwight.
How are you doing, Uncle Bona?
Thank God, my brother, we are doing very well.
Mm.
So how are you doing?
On my side, it's...
Today.
No. You can still talk, Uncle Bona. Let me listen.
No. Let me hear a question from you.
Mm.
So I was saying that today you really come with fire.
Uncle Bona, I can always explain why I come with the fire.
This is not the fire that you come when you are solid.
I can always explain why I come with a fire, Uncle Bona. I can always explain.
Please explain so that I did from
that. And it's pretty straightforward. It's primarily based upon, Uncle Bona, that when we look at trade and when we look at relationships, for example, we currently have, or our Minister of International Relations and Trade, that being Madam Ashipala Musavi or Musavi Ashipala. I apologize if I'm saying her name, you know, a little bit off.
No. I think you are correct. Those are mothers. They can't just be offended by the pronunciation or whatever.
No, but I don't know which one comes first. I keep forgetting which one comes first, and then I have to correct myself every time.
The one you read first.
Yeah.
The one you read last.
Yeah. So she's currently in Russia meeting her counterpart Sergei Lavrov, who's the international relations for Russia. And Russia, since 2022, Uncle Bona, is on an aggressive international relations journey to try and connect its economy as extensively with the developing nations of the rest of the world as quickly as possible, and obviously to build up that mutual beneficial status. However, Uncle Bona, when you look at the U.S. economy, there is very few things we can sell to the Americans.
Yeah, very few, ne?
And there's very few things we can buy from the Americans.
You see now, okay?
And the downside has been, if we look at 2025, as Trump was threatening with his tariffs, and Namibia got hit with tariffs as well, in the best case scenario, Uncle Bona, we should have used the advice that comes through from a fictional character, but it's the best advice ever.
Who is that one?
It's a book written by one guy, but it's a completely sci-fi book. It's a fictional book where the phrase was, do not panic. Just don't panic. Because when you apply tariffs to something, to a good, you're actually hurting your internal economy.
Yes.
You're not hurting an external economy. You're hurting an internal economy. You're actually not stopping what Namibia does to the potatoes of South Africa. We literally stop the potatoes from South Africa. Now that is where you cause a real trade issue.
So now, listen, when the, yes, thank you very much, because I was getting down this information, but remind me to talk about potatoes at the, as we conclude our conversation. So yes, it's very important that people are building those interrelationships, the national, it's a global. So, but then you have mentioned about the benefits, and I think the benefits are there. The last program that was there, it's also talking about opportunities, some challenges and things like that. So if we cannot export things from very few things to America, for example, so but there are other big markets. We know that if I get into this market, provided the security and peace is there, so if I get into this market, I will have more clients. I'm able to sell or give your service, you know that kind of thing. But like you say, this is actually Trump's, when you were talking about AGOA, and they keep on extending. And I don't know, the relationship that I know very well, Scott, even when during the G20.
Yeah.
Because we are also part of those things. The social declaration and all these declarations that we are to translate them. So it said that means now that yes, the, you know, this kind of dominance, I mean, the using power, of course, to get oil and end up killing people, and the instability, the chaos you see in Libya and many other countries. You understand? So this is not going to, it's going to affect us much. Africa also. All the African countries. Look at how they were doing to President Ramaphosa. So all this, when you look at that picture, I don't know what kind of, now you want this kind of thing. Because if we, are, we keep on doing that. Of course, we have to have a good relationship with the Europeans. And we also have to have a relationship with all those other countries. But maybe what we are not realizing as leaders and things like that. Because I know those opportunities, I still need to know. Because see, there are a lot of money that we are giving to the youth also. And we also want money to engage in some of those projects. So but what I'm saying now is that I don't know, because if it is true that you have just mentioned that there are a lot of opportunities.
There are, Uncle.
So even in that AGOA, I believe there are also a lot of opportunities in all aspects, in all areas.
Let me mention a very good thing to, a very good opportunity that is, that is, that exists. And we even advertised it here at Eagle FM. One of our stakeholders, our advertising stakeholders, Velvita University. I don't know if you remember the interview that I conducted in last year, in 2025, regarding the opportunity for nursing students to have the opportunity to go and work in Germany. And it creates a cash flow element. I don't know if you've heard of remittances, Ankabona, between two countries. That means you have people that can work in one country because they need migrant labor. And then those people send money back to their home nation. And that helps to firstly maintain livelihoods and all that. Now, I can show you that clear benefit, Ankabona, between Namibia and Germany, Namibia and South Africa. But I cannot prove that between Namibia and the United States. With the current administration now, obviously, you know, having very strict immigration policies.
Where is this administration taking us, actually? Honestly speaking.
Whose administration? Trump's administration.
Especially the Europe, America, and many others. Because there are a lot of countries who are also supporting this thing.
Yeah.
Even though they are condemned, people are also organizing themselves just to avoid. I mean, what kind of leadership is that we are seeing also in America, for example?
It's okay, Uncle Bonner. They call it currently, as of 2026, it's known as gunboat diplomacy. that thing that happened to Venezuela, but it's also known in another term as the strongman politics that we've known of the 80s and the 90s and the 70s and the 60s, you know, where your politicians get threatened by their politicians from the other countries, you know, in order for them to get their way over your nation, your own nation's own interests. And it's one of the, and it's one of the best things, Angabona, I always remember from the visit that our former Minister of International Relations, Peya Mushilenga, had to the first BRICS minister, no, Russia-Africa ministerial forum that happened in Sochi in 2024, where he was asked by the Russia Today journalist, you know, why, what does Namibia want to achieve between its relations with Russia and itself? And Mushilenga kept saying, it's about mutual beneficial partnership and relationship development. That's it. We must treat each other with respect, whether you are the biggest nation in the world, and Namibia is an up-and-coming developing nation with its 3 million Namibians, but we treat each other with respect.
Yes. So now maybe because there is also, it's important to really market our countries, the continent. So G20 is a good example, and all these things. I don't know why they want to do that thing, because all the European leaders, they except now the president of the United States of America. When they, now that they were just trying to screw, I mean, who thinks it's not so good? Even even if we launch a court case, and they know already that this thing is not good. So I don't know that they want to bring the, you know, if you cause these things, you can cause a lot of chaos and the civil war and unrest and all this kind of thing.
Exactly, exactly.
So, honestly speaking, because if we are not so careful, I understand when they got there, you know, Africa is good. So they have the potential, our youth are there. So now what we can be doing now is for every day, because we are actually creating awareness. So then when you look at the agriculture, you look at, I was reading in the newspaper here that you are talking about, so the Selma Asipala
Musavi.
Asipala, both of them are the same name.
Yeah,
both of them are bearing this both names. Musavi. Yes. So if at all those programs, I mean those plans or declarations, because already when you look at the social inclusion from the G20. It's for every talking about creating of employment, income generating activity, agriculture, and all these things, and money to be made available. That's why they are restructuring those debts and things like that to reform those multinational companies also. And those institutions, IMS, and all others. So now they are also reviewing this thing. If we are also in the process of reviewing, I think, our program. But I think they are just being an opportunity. The Menetumbo has just given the go-ahead of to govern us to construct soccer sport field. So if those are the things they use now, also need to be mobilized within our community there to also, because people don't, they listen. Everybody are just listening. Why can't you use the town hall that you were talking about, I think, 3 days ago? So,
well,
and then if the councillor themselves, the leadership, the tradition, and all these other things, the stakeholder.
Yeah.
So what could prevent you to do that?
Well, here's the thing, Angabona. I mean, the conversation.
Don't panic. This is directed to us. Don't panic.
Yeah. We should not panic. And we can always plan around things. But just to answer you quickly on that notion, Angabona. The most important thing is when I'm not saying that when elephants are fighting, you know, they also need to consult the grass, which will suffer when the fight is happening on top of the grass, but. The indication is obviously that there's always impacted people on the, you know, the everyday people are the impacted people when
nations and heads of state have a beef with each other. The only consideration is that we need to understand is also we really need to measure up as whether we are in SADC or in SACU or in the broader AU. How much and who in AU or in SADC or in SACU actually benefits, for example, from AGOA? So that if a guy like Donald Trump shows up once again as a president of the United States and he's throwing around tariff threats, then we ask each other, okay, so how much do you benefit, Botswana? And Botswana says, you know what? All my diamonds go to the United States. And then Botswana asks Namibia, how do you benefit? Well, we want our diamonds to actually be sold in Las Vegas. So then we realize there are, goals, ambitions on the line here, and that there are actual trade statistics on the line versus, now we are running around who's actually benefiting from AGOA versus who is not benefiting. And in most cases, Angabona, it's South Africa, it's Nigeria, it's Kenya, it's, who's the other nation? It's,
because our market is too small, or the population is too small.
It's a question of who. It's not even about the size of our market, but it's a question of, can we add more value, meaning having a manufacturing base and all that, to sell finished goods to the United States?
Because
we only sell meat, we only sell salt, and there's something else that we also export to them, but. And it'll be too expensive for us to try and import American meat to Namibia. And it just will not make economic sense to buy it at a US dollar rate while we are selling them. We might be increasing the price, to sell to the US, but it's still beneficial for us to buy meat from our local producers because we can consume what we make and we can still sell off extra.
Yeah, you are correct. But recently, the chief executive officer now for Mitico. So he was also here, and he was also actually, you know, he used to coordinate our diplomacy kind of engagement there. So he was also talking about meat coming from here. He was talking about the. Abattoirs, and those who are working, those which need to be revived. So the problem, that's why, so there are a lot of also opportunity there. Yesterday we were talking about the project of Mafuma. The Fuma that is cooked costing you 200. So, and the project, and if you look at agriculture and partnership in the African, you know, so in terms of food security, job creation, all these kind of things, they are meeting Swakopmund. I was reading it in the newspaper now here. And when you now have those of Mafuma and the tree plantation, so much. And if you go to, I don't know, me, honestly speaking, because if I have to create some job, but I think we need to create some job now. And then the entrepreneurs, because they are listening. So if they are listening, the factors production that are not in use are there. So they, you know, to create wealth and employment. So there's also something that I do not want to, because I was writing here, let me get through the trial control. So collective collaboration is very important in your mission. You cannot really go there. Japan, everybody. And, you know, I also expect our brothers and sisters from the German counterparts, the German speaking Namibians, so that they can really help us. Because in Mafuma, it means that we can also create a village tourism that Minitombo is to talk about.
Definitely, Ankabona.
The ponds are in Ondango, in what, Oshana? Is it Oshana or Oshkota? Are being revived. So now, is it also, is it a funding problem or what is it?
Funding, maybe not, Ankabona, if everything is within a manageable space. I mean, if you decide to then make something advanced from that, like further food, food manufacturing, then yeah, then it becomes a funding issue. But basic stuff like trying to have what do they call that? Like the fish farms and, you know, those other particular aquaculture or something, or something like with poultry farming where you've got your, the cages and the whole enclosure for the chickens and the, and ducks and stuff like that. Yeah, sure. Then it's probably just in terms of how do you manage everything? But I mean, from there, Uncle Bona, if you've got to do, if you're in agriculture or some sort of animal husbandry situation, it's usually, the only issue is usually who are you selling this thing to? That's the only thing that many producers worry about.
Yeah. So now you are saying that Nigeria, South Africa and others who have got big market economy and they are mostly benefiting. And you are saying that, yes, how do you, I mean, I understand like you are saying. That is just a good example now. So what do you think we can benefit more if those sales are benefiting maybe because of the infrastructure, because of whatever, and you were talking about all these things, that even the money going out. So now what do you think we should be doing apart from the recommendation that you are giving? Because I believe that when it comes to climate change, adaptation...
The best, Uncle Bona, the best under AGOA, is we pursue AFCFTA. We do what the South Africans are doing. They are aggressively pursuing AFCFTA. We pursue AFCFTA.
What is, let me just write that. What are you talking about?
Africa Continental Free Trade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we pursue that aggressively. If trade happens with the United States, okay, it's a bonus, but we actually need to pursue trading with each other.
Yes, very important. Because we need to clean up. Yeah. Because that's why, because there was also a directive. A lot of things are being directed. The late president, Hage Geingob, at one point, let his soul rest in peace. At one point, he said, they might no more exporting raw material. And every country is saying so. So if, like example you gave for potatoes, if we say now you guys understand that we are also having our guys here and people doing these things, and maybe you might end up with defrauding the market, and then our things also get threatened, and because most of those potatoes that people are producing, Spivana has taught them. So now, is that not the reason? Perhaps?
It could be. Uncle Bona, remember, they are not absolutes. There are other things, factors that also influence developments, projects and the likes. It's not an absolute. And it's one thing I had to learn in the 5 years that I've now also been with Eagle FM. You know, I'm not shouting for any anniversary. No, Uncle Bona.
Every day I'm refreshing.
Yeah, and now it's in the 5 years that I've also learned in terms of here, being here with you and the listeners and with at Eagle FM, is that there is no such thing as an absolute. And it's one of the reasons why I also don't believe in debating, because debating is about shouting and proving someone else's point is incorrect, instead of having conversations.
Yeah. So let's now go. Okay, let's see how we can create a thing. Kind of awareness. And you guys, we thank you very much. But you know, it's very important to have a sound kind of relationship with other countries. People are talking about multilateralism. So at least as long as Africa is benefiting, unlike when you have 24 Namibians fall prey to us and traffickers. You know, do you know how they interrupted the I think 2 weeks ago during December, so 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in South Africa, the children were trafficked. And those people, that car was caught, you know, trafficking in person. Those people were caught by the security company. So, and security companies who are really like, you know the guerrilla warfare kind of a strategy.
I hear you, Uncle Bona. I hear you. I will not say. I will not say yes, but I hear you.
What a bit. Even though there in South Africa is the security guard by the world. Oh my God.
Yeah.
How they would penetrate in that criminal justice system.
Mm.
So please, let's not allow that, and we create awareness and things like that. I love your point when you are saying, please, corrective approach.
Mm.
Even if you take it from the historical point of view.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Watchman. God bless you so much.
Thanks a lot, Uncle Bona. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The same to you, my brother.
Mm. Now, coming back from the caller's contribution, dear listeners, there is, obviously, from what you could extract also in terms of the engagement, is that there is a various entry points into a conversation, for example, things like AGOA. Now, I'm not being dismissive of AGOA, I'm just being critical of something like AGOA. If you try to go on, the Namibian government, specifically under the Ministry of Trade or International Relations and Trade right now, as it is known right now, they've got a, and this was the trade portal that was launched last year, specifically when the now defunct Ministry of Internet of Industry, of Trade and Industry, when they launched, just before the new administration was released, the NamibiaTradePortal.gov.na. So this is an online resource that is a central hub for understanding what international treaties Namibia has signed, where Namibia has potential preferential trade arrangements and agreements with. And also to try and understand if you're trying to import things from wherever across the world, what goods and how these goods would be weighted in terms of the tax considerations that Namara would charge you at the border, at the points of entry into the country, and all those, you know, sort of like various loose ends and things that we could never truly get our hands and our heads around to understand the extent in terms of understanding what would be regulated by which agency and which ministry in the country. So the Namibia Trade Portal, it's a lovely resource. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying it's a lovely resource. It's highly centralized and it shares a lot of stuff for you. You can even calculate on this resource potential tax that you would be liable for as an importing business. But it does have a section on AGOA and Namibia and the United States' AGOA relationship regarding this. Now, the little fact sheet that they've got here explains that the AGOA agreement is U.S. legislation known formally as the Trade and Development Act of 2000. That was obviously brought in back then. AGOA also provides for preferential market access of eligible products of sub-Saharan African countries into the United States under unilateral trade arrangement, meaning if you are from this specific zone of Africa, it's unilateral. And they can prove that you are there. You can obviously prove that you are there because no one can pick up their country and position it in another continent or another geographical location. Obviously not. But it is primarily catered or directed towards sub-Saharan African countries. So meaning countries below the Sahara Desert. Another thing what AGOA also does, it extends the duty-free access to products designated under the United States' Generalized System of Preferences, the GSP program, and more than 2,000 additional tariff lines. So this meant that the United States has such a large catalog of tariffs that they can apply to the importation of a product from your country. This can be a Karakul sheepskin. This can be Namibian beef. This can be Namibian salt. This can be Namibian copper. You name it. It can be a wide range of products that you are selling or exporting in a raw, unprocessed format or semi-processed format from your country, shipping it all the way to them. You could have been hit as a country like Namibia by close to or more than 2,000 different kinds of tariffs. But just like I explained, who does a tariff really impact? A tariff actually impacts as an extra tax
the consumer in the United States. It does nothing to you, the person selling to the American business on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. It does nothing to you. It does nothing to you. Yes, it'll spoil business for you. It might force you to sell to someone else because that customer will tell you in the United States, I cannot import your product anymore because it's becoming, your product does not sell. And I don't want to sit with wastage. It's a basic thing. It happens in trade and commerce. It happens. Waste happens. I mean, just walk through the shelves in your local retail shop, wherever you find yourself. And ask yourself, what happens if a dairy product is not bought and it expires on the shelf there in front of you? What happens? Now remember, the retailer paid money for that stock to be brought in by the supplier or by the producer. So obviously there's some format of negotiation and some format of trade relations that takes place, or commerce relations that takes place, between the retailer and the supplier and the retailer and the producer. There is some format of further negotiations that are engaged in. Now that is a dairy product. A dairy product is known as a fragile product. It's a perishable good. It is a perishable good. Hence the reason why they put on the expiry date, the production date with the expiry date, to show you, the consumer, if it is on the day that it says it's supposed to expire on, don't buy it on that day. But if it's in the day before, or the day, or 3 days before the expiry date, it's still safe to consume, to purchase and consume. Now when I share such particular details with you, you obviously get to understand that trade can go as micro as possible between you and your cousin, or you and your little brother or your little sister. Because I've seen a lot of trade negotiations between my siblings. Basic commerce, basic trade negotiations. You know, the one brother says, hey, listen, man, I'd like to buy your old cell phone. You know, what kind? You know, what can we engage? The negotiations start right there. But before we continue, guys, we take a short break.
Omarandisiro wehira kamwaha. Yanje ombango batule bana mibyo tukondwa tokolo mbanda. Inga omachibisiro omana hepero chinene okula ko ministry otutungo no bikunwa omibano matuni no wehi. Alikane pulatene na wa numuhana sane ombulenji ko unepo wetu nduroye obarara nganda no mapanga. Omena rashike omena rakusha omahiwo kolo mbanda mo Namibia omahiwo holo mende nukaye sokurandisiwa munga mwa omano auhe. Okukara norupa munga mwa omangulilo ngasha mano marandisiro po omarandiro wa mahi ochina chichiri penje oveta. Oveta yomatuni wa mahi wakolo mbanda, oveta oisha tano yombura inji onayewali nambali, isha era oukahu onga nolonjito ohamukua na indo. Omberero yomarandisiro wa mahi penje oveta. Olomberero lokoshi veta, obakatuke oveta mapea abehunga mwa iyo olomberero lokufuta ochimariva po omberero yokukara mondeko. Ondombero yongaro ombwa yoshiwana. Okulandisa po, okulanda ehiro kolombanda, marire ochinashi machitwara kolonjaka halomahi nomba meno mokatiko biwana vietu. Muhepa okushuwa shike, ehiro kolombanda ehiretu atuhe, oro omahaneno woburo yetu, jima iso kuyeta ombwiro komundu auhe. Okutida obiruma twa vietu, kehiyo mwano wakutenga ehiretu rokolombanda, etemonao tuyanja ondenge rokondenguyo mbalu yetu, nokushevera olondendera detu. Shivisa obishitwa vyo penji oveta. Shuno mahaka wangamwa omangulilo wa penji oveta, alikana shivisa omahakango kuhona pare ombalu, ochirata shomahi wakamuha, po kombero yo ministri njiri popedu noruko ndwaroye. Katungule pamwe okushevera olongulo letu lokolo mbanda mena rolondito na lamuhuka. O ministri kaina kukara no medirio wangamwa ombanjarero yolongulo lehi duma letwa iyo marandisiro wa mahi wokolo mbanda penji oveta. Nyemburu kakusha kehiro okolo mbanda ochina ochihude gatuli tideke hiongaro ombwa nungi nonguli kiro kubandu abehe. Okuhepa koma ngulilo wakumwe, ombuda yorati yonji, ya likamithi wapamwe nopatu wa shimariwa okulako horomende ya Namibia, no horomende ye hiro bando ishi, okupitila mwombanga yomekulisiro ye hiro bando ishi. Konjivisiro yoko mulungu, alikana hakaena kweno mbero yorupa roma ngulilo wakumwe, kweno shiwana, mwaministri yotutu ngono ikunwa, omeba no matuni no wahi, poho kongole nomora inji, onora, ohambo umwe, oimwe, ombali, onora, ohambo ndatu, ohambo mbali, ohambo umwe, ombali, nomuni.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 2 kg Real Good Frozen Chicken Mixed Portions, only 109 Namibian dollars 99, and 1 litre Bonita Long Life Full Cream Milk for just 19 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 25 January 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
So we come back, dear listeners, there from the extended break, and as we head into the last 10 minutes of this afternoon session, you're on the Drive Time session on in your number one talk radio station, this specifically being the home run for this Thursday afternoon. I know, it doesn't feel like a Thursday. I know. However, we have a lovely particular presentation in terms of the illustration that we have shown you through the course of the past hour and 12 minutes. It has been one where you've had the opportunity to look at how should we look at this AGOA treatment or this AGOA agreement. Now, Namibia is one of the sub-Saharan African nations. And even recently, as of yesterday and the day before, the 13th, the United States has also gone and enacted a further particular piece of legislation pointed towards the refusal to issue immigrant visas to 75 countries. It includes large nations like Brazil, Russia, the DRC is in here, much of North Africa, much of West Africa, including Cameroon and Nigeria, as well as also that the rest of the nations out there. So I don't know under what consideration you might go and apply as an immigrant from Namibia to the United States, but there's still an opportunity for you to do so. So you have to look at immigration, specifically the context of commerce, because human skills are also a tradable good. If you did not know that, that's why something like your HR department exists in your company. Because human skills and human capital are a pivotal good and a pivotal commodity. It's an essential commodity in many scenarios. But as an immigrant, as a worker, as a labor immigrant or an economic immigrant, as the terminology would exist, you still have the potential opportunity of flying off to the United States as a Namibian and apply to a job there and work there. You can still do that. However, under the current climate of immigration, of just being able to fly to the US, many people would tell you, and you heard yesterday from Hende here in studio where he helped us understand and explain and also, you know, highlighted the visa cost as a Namibian for you to fly to the United States currently. $15,000 US. That's $300,000 Namibian. Who's gonna fork out $300,000 just for a visa? No one. With that $300,000, you could buy a car and still have change left for you to enjoy a lovely cup of coffee and still have a lovely dinner and potentially even go to a wedding somewhere in the north and still have money to spend at the said wedding and then still come back and still have money left. I just made that all up, guys. But you get what I'm talking about. You get it. You get the gist. Let me get the next caller coming through. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Oh, Dwight.
Angabona.
Yeah, it was a wonderful presentation. Yeah, I like it. I love it and I appreciate it. Because it also gives us some kind of opportunity to look at. But there's something you mentioned, And for example, if you, the tomatoes or potatoes or whatever, is to be rotting. So is there no way to convert those ones into, like one young man has done in Okahanja, who's producing tomato?
Yes, Angabwana. That is what they do with your tomato paste and your tomato sauce that you buy in the shop. The very nice potatoes you see in the shop, Angabwana, the ones that you find between the fresh produce, that is the best of the best.
Okay.
The ones that you find in the tomato sauce bottle are the ones that have the blemishes and the rotten pieces on it. It gets converted into that. So
that young man just created his company, and then he was racing with some other business people in Varusbay, and then they started converting they started producing fish. So they followed the stand-up, all these other things. So they were interviewed here in Eagle FM. So because I also believe that even if there are not enough chairs, if we plant trees, then we make trees, I mean chair for the children, would it work? Yes.
Angabwana? Hello?
To make chairs. To make chairs, to make beds from the wood. You know, you plant those trees, and so that you make chairs for this artisan. So thank you very much for the presentation, man. It was very educative and very informative. So I'm really grateful. So I think we can still look at some of the opportunities.
All right, Angabwana.
All the best.
Now, the important thing here, guys, is that the AGOA Act has been extended twice before. And it obviously has also seen the utilization strategy being launched back in 2021 on 10 May. I've also read the utilization strategy. It's got peculiar language also worked into it. When I say peculiar language, I'm talking about literally peculiar in the sense primarily of highlighting, like, how do you ascertain or establish the preferential parameters. So under Barack Obama, the previous US president, and this is known as under the AGOA Act itself, he issued a proclamation back then, and there was a specific section that the Namibian government highlights in this explainer on the trade portal. Now it states here on the trade portal that for a country to be AGOA eligible, you obviously must be a sub-Saharan African country, and you must meet AGOA's eligibility requirements set out in Section 104 of the legislation. Now, if you go and ask yourself, what is Section 104 of the American legislation, or whatever legislation America has regarding the AGOA Act, it states the following. Section 506A, subsection A, subsection 1 of the Trade Act of 1974, an American Act, as amended and as added by Section 111A of the AGOA Act, authorizes the U.S. President to designate a country listed in Section 107 of the AGOA Act as a beneficiary sub-Saharan African country. And if the U.S. President determines that that country meets the eligibility requirements set forth in Section 104 of the AGOA Act, as well as the eligibility criteria set forth in Section 502 of the 1974 American Act. So, this actually means that the reason as to why AGOA is being extended to 2028, 31 December, is primarily because Donald Trump has literally had a change of heart. He probably sees that there is some positive development coming, or positive reactions coming through from sub-Saharan African countries. I do not know if it includes the bombing of Islamic insurgents in North Nigeria. I do not know if it includes that or if it's part of the deal. But obviously,
this is a pivotal development in its own right. Even though this is a proclamation brought forward or developed by Barack Obama, the predecessor of Donald Trump's first presidential term, it still gives the U.S. president, which includes Donald Trump as the current incumbent U.S. president, the opportunity to personally review the eligibility of a sub-Saharan African nation in terms of the requirements that they measure this country under. Another consideration to add to highlight, is primarily also how you need to look at this particular legislation. Now, AGOA has its own sort of like website situation. It's hosted by the American government. But when you look at that 104 section, that section 104, which speaks to the modifications of rules of origin for duty-free treatment for articles of beneficiary sub-Saharan African countries under the generalized system of preferences. So, all it states, primarily under 104, is that firstly, everything must be in relation to the Trade Act of 1974 of the United States, but it looks at direct costs of processing operations performed in one or more such beneficiary sub-Saharan African country or former sub-Saharan African country shall be applied in determining a specific percentage. So they obviously look at what kind of a tariff, what kind of a tax would be applied, a trade tax. They obviously looked at the harmonization of a tariff schedule. I remember the more than 2,000 tariffs that I highlighted that Namibia could face if we export anything to the U.S., so it tries to relax it on that such situation. And you also look at the effective dates in terms of dealing with a country that comes from sub-Saharan Africa, primarily with regards to the product, the method of growth of the product, or the manufacturing style or method of said product that comes from this country. So, yes, I was led literally through many particular rabbit holes, but it does highlight a pivotal question for us to ask and answer at the same time. But before we actually say our goodbyes, guys, we quickly take a short ad break and we come back right after this.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Polana elbow macaroni or spaghetti pasta, only 13 Namibian dollars 99 each. And 1 kg nice rice, medium grain, for just 26 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 25 January 2026. ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
Now, coming back to listeners from the quick break right there, it's actually a very upbeat break. Specifically, I love the jingle there. But obviously, the important thing just before we end off on our talk and hand over to David from the Business and Economics segment is it's a pivotal thing that you need to look at, because here is the bare bones advice that I can share with you. In the world of commerce, you've got to select, and you're going to play a hard particular game. And it's not a game, actually, but many scenarios. I hear so much from Jeffrey Sachs about game theory, and I realize game theory is actually like some sort of strategic thinking mechanism that the Americans, you know, study on university level. You can go and read up about game theory, just so that you guys know. It has got nothing to do with computer games or video games. There's everything to do with politics, policy, and international relations and potential warmongering. And then you start seeing what developments are actually popping up or popping out or occurring. And in many particular scenarios, from what we can look at, is that it seems that Donald Trump has slightly warmed up to some African countries and potentially not others, because one country was removed. It doesn't say which country. It just says a country was removed. So we also need to understand, potentially would be the guy not crying a massive, sort of like a, well, if we can call it crocodile tears to one extent. But yeah, there's always that particular fear, that particular risk. On that particular note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end for this afternoon session of the business and economic segment. Well, look at me. It does bring us up to the end of the home run segment, not the business and economic segment. So it's not me. David is up next. And enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. Let's see each other again, same time, same place. I've actually got a lovely piece of subject matter lined up for tomorrow. We will slightly be in Namibia. I say slightly because we've got to look at the future. And on that note, dear listeners, stay tuned and let's see each other again. And remember, you can follow us on all our social media platforms where we always bring you other updates and, you know, interesting conversation points. But on this note, stay tuned and enjoy the rest of your evening in our company. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.